You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our first of two podcasts on the clinical use of cannabidiol in neurology care, particularly epilepsy conditions. This two-part series is geared towards members of the multidisciplinary care team who manage epilepsy, including epileptologists, neurologists, and advanced practice providers and nurses on the care team. In this episode, we'll be talking about distinguishing prescription from over-the-counter CBD products and discussing how CBD operates in the brain to help normalize excitability in certain epilepsy conditions. My name is Chris, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. Joining me today is Dr. Scott Perry, who is head of neuroscience at the Jane and John Justin Institute for Mind Health at the Cook Children's Medical Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. Perry has been treating patients with epilepsy for many years, and his main clinical and research interests focus on the treatment of childhood epilepsy, specifically surrounding challenging cases that are uncontrolled or idiopathic in nature. Dr. Perry, great to have you on board with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris.
So I just gave you an introduction, but introduce yourself. How long have you been caring for children with epilepsy, and how did you get interested in this particular topic?
Oh, gosh. I've been doing pediatric epilepsy now for 15 plus years, basically all of those after training here at Cook Children's. And I have been interested in the patient population I care for since that time. I mean, I came here with an interest specifically in genetic epileptic encephalopathies and epilepsy surgery. And as part of that, clinical trial research has been a big component, which, of course, is why I have exposure to a lot of the medications like what we'll be talking about today.
So our focus is cannabidiol and how it may be used for epilepsy. Give us a little background on CBD. What is it? What part of the cannabis plant does it come from? And are there psychoactive effects associated with it?
Yeah, so CBD is one of the components of the cannabis plant. So you know, CBD does not equal cannabis per se, right? That's what a lot of people think. It's medical marijuana, and not really. So the cannabis plant has, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of chemical substances within it, of which CBD or cannabidiol is one of them. And that particular substance does not exert a psychoactive effect. The psychoactive effect is primarily related to THC, which is another one of those components of the cannabis plant. Cannabis itself has been, you know, utilized in medicine for some time. It's not necessarily a new phenomenon. There's reports of it, you know, far back to the early BC years that it was used in a variety of different conditions, and over time kind of disappeared and really made a resurgence, you know, in the last, you know, 10, 15 years in the US, especially and worldwide, really, as it relates to epilepsy.
So that's a good background on it. Now, without getting too much into brain chemistry, how does CBD actually work within the brain?
That's a fantastic question that I wish I actually had a solid answer to. Truthfully, we're not exactly sure. We know that there are certain endocannabinoid receptors in the brain. The CB1, CB2 are some of the ones we're most familiar with. And from an epilepsy standpoint, CBD or cannabidiol does not interact or exert its anti-seizure impact because of those receptors. There's probably a lot of other ways. I mean, a lot of science suggests some interaction with G-protein receptors, possibly some decreased presynaptic release of glutamate. There's some interaction with some of the 5-HT or serotonin kind of mechanism receptors, some evidence for impact on voltage-gated ion channels. So, there's probably a lot of different ways that CBD interacts. So, you know, if the question is, what is the mechanism of action of CBD in epilepsy? The answer is, we're not exactly sure. It is probably a multi-target mechanism.
So then, with that in mind, what is CBD actually used for? I know people take it for a variety of ailments, kind of off-label, and you know, there's now a lot of research on epilepsy and some other conditions. But in your experience, what are the majority of people using CBD for?
Well, I think the primary reason it's being used is for epilepsy, and that's because that's, you know, at least from a standpoint of my use, that's something we have a clinical indication of an FDA-approved version for. So there's three specific syndromes in epilepsy that we use it in: Dravet syndrome, Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, and tuberous sclerosis complex are those conditions. Now, there, as you alluded to, there are a lot of other things that people, you know, have considered using CBD for. If you search the internet, you'll find any variety. I mean, almost anything was fair game to try it in and investigate it in. But the thing we have approval in to use it in and well, you know, designed studies is epilepsy.
So, as you mentioned, there's a lot of CBD products out there, many over-the-counter versions and one that's FDA approved, as you mentioned. What's the main difference between the FDA approved version and some of the others that you found over-the-counter?
Yeah, I think the main thing for people to be aware of is that because, you know, CBD or at least, you know, CBD products are pretty readily available. I mean, you can get them, gosh, almost anywhere these days. They're essentially like, like vitamins, right? They're not fully regulated. And so these can be produced by any number of manufacturers and produced by any different modes of production. And so to understand that what the label says is in the bottle and what's actually in the bottle for a lot of these kind of over-the-counter versions is where the problem comes in. I mean, you don't know if what's in there, the dose may change from bottle to bottle, for example, or exactly the full makeup of what's in the bottle may change. And that can have impact. You know, if it's not purified CBD, what else is in there? So, potentially some risk to things like that. And likewise, when things change from month to month, it's similar thinking about, you know, for example, generic versions of approved medications, right? Generic versions of medications don't have to be exactly have the same bioavailability of the brand name drugs, but they need to be within a range. And at least there's a process by which to approve and monitor those generics. There's not really any kind of process for these over-the-counter CBD products. So those are the kinds of things people just need to be aware of and the real differentiating factors.
So talk a little bit about the formulations available. I know the FDA approved version is an oral solution, but some of the other ones that are over-the-counter are, you know, given with a dropper or, you know, are there tablets, capsules? What are the formulations available?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a variety of different, you know, kind of ways it's been presented. I've seen some, you know, some like nasal sprays or other kind of oral spray versions. Of course, you see the liquid versions usually with suspension and oil because it's fat soluble. I have seen some versions that are like tablet versions and things like that. So there's a variety of way it's packaged and, you know, how well each one gets absorbed and then can exert its impact would, you know, require well-designed trials to kind of show that, you know, in fact, that mode of administration works well. So the one that is, you know, FDA approved has been through those trials, and it's an oral suspension. It's an oil-based oral suspension. That we understand, you know, its absorption, its pharmacokinetics, its dynamics, that kind of stuff.
Okay. And to that point, in our second podcast, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the efficacy and safety in some of the clinical trials that they ran. Now, with regard to epilepsy, what are some of the pros and cons of using CBD for seizures?
I think the biggest pro is that, you know, it's something we have evidence, we have good evidence that it is helpful. As you said, we're going to talk about that efficacy more in the second podcast, but at least as it relates to the, you know, approved version, the approved CBD product, we have well-designed clinical trials that show that CBD can reduce seizure frequency. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think there is, you know, some mounting evidence out there that there's some non-seizure benefits, which is in part what kind of sparks people's interest in maybe some other condition. So, you know, potentially there's some help for things like sleep, behavior, or some of the more common things that we might hear about. As far as the cons, and I think the cons, again, this comes from data from well-designed clinical trials, but some of the cons are that there's interactions with other medications. So as it relates to epilepsy, clobazam, which is a common medication that we use, does interact with CBD such that you get elevations of a metabolite of clobazam called desmethylclobazam, and that can result in increasing sleepiness. You can also have some amount of interaction with valproate, another common drug that we use in epilepsy, and that can increase the risk of liver enzyme elevation, though liver enzyme elevation can occur in the absence of valproate, so it can occur just with CBD alone. And then, you know, some other common adverse effects that have been seen with the treatment are things like, as I said, sleepiness, but diarrhea was more common in the studies as well.
So you mentioned sleep and behavior, and I know, you know, a lot of people take CBD over the counter for pain and anxiety and that sort of thing. Talk a little bit more about that. So other than epilepsy, what are some of these other areas, and are there ongoing clinical trials for, you know, any agent, either FDA approved version or investigational agents at this point? Do you know of any ongoing disease states that these are being studied for?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to clinicaltrials.gov and you know type in cannabidiol, you're going to get a long list of different conditions that people are, you know, looking at potential. So what kinds of things? You got anxiety, you got obsessive compulsive disorder, you got pain, as you've described, you've got some eating disorders, for example, have been looked at, post-surgery pain. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of areas where people are interested in it. And I think that goes back to one, it's a substance that, you know, comes from a naturally, you know, derived plant. So there's just interest in using things that are naturally based like that. Two, as I discussed earlier, it's probably got multiple mechanisms of action, which, you know, maybe gives us multiple opportunities to treat multiple different conditions that have different mechanisms by which they occur. And in general, it's a fairly well-tolerated substance as we understand it. So, you know, we understand it to be fairly safe, at least in its purified CBD form. So I think a lot of interest in continuing to explore what can be done with this substance.
So let's end on this then. What are some of your general take-home thoughts that you have for clinicians on maybe how they should approach the use of CBD in their patients? Maybe tips on how to manage stigma or how to involve other clinicians along the way. Maybe even some of the common challenges that arrive that people like myself wouldn't think of. What are your top-line concluding points for clinicians here?
Well, I think I would say the first is that we have evidence that it is effective. Again, at least in, you know, its purified CBD form in a version that's FDA approved, we have good evidence that it's effective for seizures. We have some evidence, which really comes from those trials and people using the medication for epilepsy since, that it probably has some positive impact on other things like behavior, sleep, et cetera. And then also, as I said, that it's well tolerated. So when you're kind of thinking about the landscape treatments that we have out there, particularly for epilepsy, it is it's a medication that has some effect, and you know, I think it's fairly easy to use and fairly safe to use. There are some interactions people need to be aware of, but everything we use in treatment of epilepsy has interactions, frankly. So just being aware of those that we talked about earlier are important. I think the other thing that we already touched on, though, is you know, being clear with you know, the patients that there are differences between the CBD products that are available, and you can't just one-to-one substitute, you know, something that is, you know, a rigorously tested FDA-approved version for something that you might be able to get, you know, over the counter at your local, you know, grocery or something like that. So those are the main things. I think if you're aware of that evidence, and you know, you can have that conversation with the patient, it makes for a pretty informative conversation where they can make informed decisions about what might be best for their treatment and what they're interested in trying.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Perry. Epilepsy is obviously a challenging area, particularly the developmental and epileptic encephalopathies, which, you know, place huge burdens on the patients affected as well as their families. But I'm glad we could take a couple minutes today just to discuss the role of CBD in helping to manage these conditions. But that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank our expert, Dr. Scott Perry, for taking the time to speak with us today. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. Hopefully you'll be able to tune into our second podcast in this series, in which we'll talk a little bit more about the efficacy and safety of CBD and a few other things, such as how to overcome misconceptions and how to open up discussions with patients about the use of CBD. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would also like to give a special thank you to our educational grant supporter, Jazz Pharmaceuticals, who provided an unrestricted educational grant for this activity. Thank you very much and have a great day.